Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God,
our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I am Jesus' little lamb. That's one of the songs that my parents would sing to me on occasion as a little tiny lamb. And I'm so grateful to the Lord for Mom and also Dad and how they pointed me to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And that's what we're acknowledging today. This Sunday is Good Shepherd Sunday. And as you've already seen, the readings point to Jesus as the Good Shepherd, the hymns also. And I would also like to talk about the Good Shepherd with an image that might be a little bit different than what we're used to. Often when we think about Jesus as the Good Shepherd, we get this picture of Jesus, and he's there in the middle of this green field, maybe some water nearby, and there's some sheep around him, and he's got his shepherd's staff in hand, and there's this little sheep on his shoulders, and it's a wonderful picture of Jesus as our Good Shepherd. Now, you might have noticed in one of our readings in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 7, that we have a slightly different picture of the Good Shepherd. Maybe a little bit different, but I'd like to look at that a little bit today. Revelation chapter 7, verse 17 says, "For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." It's an interesting picture. For the Lamb upon the throne will be their shepherd. And we, in the book of Revelation, you will hear that phrase, Lamb of God, about 24 different times, used obviously to refer to Jesus Christ. And earlier in Revelation, there's this picture of a lamb on the throne. John says, "I see this lamb that looked like it had been slain, and yet it's alive there on the throne." And that's an interesting picture for us today, the lamb that is a shepherd. But I think there's something significant about that. Now, Jesus has been called the Lamb of God, and this fits well with the narrative that we see in the Scriptures. If you look at the Old Testament, way back in Exodus, you hear about the Passover lamb. God's people are there in Egypt, and they have been there in Egypt for 400 years, and God then sent Moses on their behalf to lead them out of Egypt, but ultimately God is the one who's going to lead them. Before they get out of Egypt, Moses goes into the presence of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh hardens his heart again and again and again. All these different plagues showing the majesty of God are given, and yet Pharaoh says, "Nope, you can't go." So finally, God is going to send the angel of death, the final plague that's going to go on the land. The angel of death is going to come over and destroy the firstborn, but God makes a provision to save and to protect. If you'll remember, he tells the people, "Go ahead and take a lamb, kill a lamb, and put the blood of the lamb upon the doorposts of your house. And as you are there, in the doorpost, in the house where the blood of the lamb has been, you will be protected, and the angel of death will pass over." Hence why we get Passover, which was then celebrated by the Jews for generations and generations, remembering that the blood of the lamb covered them and they were protected from the angel of death. Well, there's an obvious connection as we think about our Savior Jesus, who is the promised Lamb of God. The prophet Isaiah speaks about the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah, and there's a description of him in Isaiah 53, which speaks in imagery of a lamb. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, speaks of the coming Messiah in this way: "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Now, in some respects, this would not be the type of Messiah that the people were looking for. The type of the Messiah that people were looking for was someone like Judas Maccabeus, and if you'll notice in your gospel lesson, they were celebrating the Feast of Dedication, which is also known as Hanukkah. And during that time, the Jews remembered the deliverance of their Almighty God through people such as Judas Maccabeus, a warrior. But Isaiah speaks of the Messiah as this lamb being led to the slaughter. And indeed, we see the fulfillment of that as Jesus,
then appears on the banks of the Jordan, and our friend John the Baptist sees the Messiah, sees Jesus, and what does he say? He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." How fitting if we think about the Old Testament sacrifices that were put in place, where it says in the scripture, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And the people were sacrificing these animals in view of the coming promise of the Messiah, Jesus, who would be the ultimate sacrifice, who would be the ultimate, pure, spotless, sinless Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And this is your Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb without blemish. Unlike any of us gathered here, he is the one who lived his life perfectly. Certainly true God and true man, but experiencing what we go through, he lived his life perfectly, and he was led like a lamb to the slaughter with a cross on his back. I wonder if Jesus spoke the words of Psalm 23 as he was going on his way to the cross. We don't know. But in Psalm 23, it says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Our Lord goes into the valley of the shadow of death for your sake, on your behalf, and he does so identifying with us. Certainly not sinful, but in every respect, knowing what it's like to be like us. We have Hebrews chapter 9, or 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 7, which says, "Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. And so now we rejoice then that our Passover lamb who has been sacrificed, Jesus Christ, is also the risen one who is alive. He is the lamb who is reigning upon the throne. Remember the hymn of praise that we sang earlier in the service? It spoke about, "Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood makes us free to be people of God." And then we sing our alleluias in praise to this Lamb upon the throne. I love how our liturgy ties these things together. And in Easter, we celebrate the Lamb who is now risen from the dead. One of our hymns speaks about our Savior Jesus. And it's called "The Lamb," hymn number 547. It says this, the Lamb, as wayward sheep their shepherd kill, so still his will on our behalf the law to fill. Worthy is the Lamb whose death makes me his own. The Lamb is reigning on the throne. He rose, my heart with thanks now overflows. His song prolong till every heart to him belong. Worthy is the Lamb whose death makes me his own. The Lamb is reigning on his throne. And as we continue our service, as we go through our liturgy, we're going to be singing what we call the Agnus Dei. And the Agnus Dei is the Latin phrase for Lamb of God. And in our service, it goes like this: Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, grant us peace. Grant us peace. And this is said after the consecration of the elements of the Lord's Supper. After we hear the words that were spoken, speaking of Christ's body and blood given for you, the real presence of Christ, then after that is when we sing those words, acknowledging the presence of Christ among us as the Lamb who was slain, whose blood now makes us free to be people of God. Pretty cool stuff. Another one of our hymns says this, hymn 633, "At the Lamb's high feast we sing praise to our victorious King, who has washed us in the tide flowing from his pierced side, alleluia. Praise we him whose love divine gives his sacred blood for wine, gives his body for the feast, Christ the victim, Christ the priest, alleluia, alleluia." And this is the amazing thing, that the Lamb, pictured in Revelation, is also the one who is going to shepherd us, who is going to guide us in the midst of the trials and the tribulations of life. He is not like a distant CEO who doesn't know what's going on, but rather he knows exactly what you are going through in a very intimate and real way. He is the one who will shepherd you through the struggles and the tribulations of life. Revelation 7:17, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. What is the context, though, of this? Well, if you've been looking at the book of Revelation, you'll notice that Revelation has words that are spoken to the different churches, and then later on, there are a series of visions. It's actually three cycles of visions, seven parts to each of these three visions, and each of these visions speak about trials and tribulations that are to come. Terrible, difficult times. But in the midst of all this, woven through the book of Revelation is the theme that Christ is victorious. Yes, there will be struggles. Yes, there will be trials. But Christ is the victorious one, the Lamb who is still reigning upon the throne. And yes, there will be great tribulation. The words there are philipseos megas, philipseos megas, great tribulation. When we think about that word megas, we think about the word mega, megabyte, mega sale. It means huge, giant. And there will be struggles, and guess what? It's gonna get worse. We look back at the good old days, but the good old days are gone. There will be struggles. There will be trials. And you've been facing your own set of trials. We all do. Some of the trials are a result of the general state of this sinful, broken world. Struggles, diseases, things that affect your body, aches and pains, frustrations, broken things. But we also experience the trials and struggles as we experience the tragedies of life, as we experience the loss of loved ones, as we experience broken relationships, as we experience any manner of tragedy. Just recently, again on the news, another shooting at a school in Denver, yet again. God have mercy. There's all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of political polarization in our country, and the list could go on and on with all the struggles that we experience, and it can be disheartening. It can be a frustration if we take our eyes off the Lamb who is reigning on the throne. Jesus himself says these words in John 16:33, "In the world you will have tribulation." In the world, you will have tribulation. But Jesus continues and he says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Yes, I have overcome the world. And this shepherd lamb is the one who's going to lead you and guide you. And the beauty of this is, as I mentioned earlier, he knows what you're going through. Some of you have maybe worked for companies where in the upper echelons, it seems like in the ivory tower, they have no clue what you're going through. You're on the ground level doing your job, trying to do the very best you can, and upper management makes some kind of ridiculous move, and you're thinking to yourself, that's stupid. Don't you realize what's going on down here on the ground level? But that's not the type of God that you have. That's not the type of lamb who is shepherding you, but rather this is the lamb who knows on a very visceral gut level what you are going through right now. Jesus, we must remember he is true God and true man. True man who has experienced what it is like to be hungry, what it's like to be thirsty, what it's like to be lonely, what it's like to be ridiculed, what it's like to go through all kinds of manner of struggles. He knows what it's like to be mocked and insulted and ridiculed for standing for the truth. After all, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And yet people would spit and mock him and then plot to have him killed. So you have a shepherd lamb who knows what you are going through right now. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Did you catch that? Did you hear that? He was tempted in every way. That might be a bit of a mind-blowing thought for us, that Jesus was tempted. He knows what it's like to go through those struggles and trials. And guess what? We have the privilege, as baptized children of God, to come before his presence. I think sometimes we try to go at it alone. We try to muddle through situations thinking, well, I got this. I'm going to figure this out. Instead of turning to the shepherd and saying, I need help. I'm a little lamb who's feeling lost. I'm a little lamb who's got myself with my feet stuck in the air and wiggling around. I can't get out of this mess. God, help me. He's always available for you, and he loves you so much. Jesus, after all, in John chapter 10, says, I am the good shepherd. Unlike any hired hands who have done a poor job, unlike leaders in your life who may have failed you, whether that be parents or people in a company or anybody else, people have failed you. But Jesus, the good shepherd, will not fail you. This is the one, as it says in our gospel reading, that he knows you by name. He calls you by name. He knows every intimate detail about you, and he still loves you. He still loves you. And he's the one who nourishes us, who feeds us, who guides us. As we think about that beautiful psalm, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And Revelation 7:17 says, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And when we think about living water, that means life. That means flowing life. Remember what Jesus says to the woman at the well in John 4? She wants this water, and he says, I offer you water so that you will never thirst again. And Jesus is the one who offers true life, who offers the living water. And when he was speaking to the woman at the well, he was speaking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, giving you abundant, flowing life. Even in the midst of struggles, you can have that life. And he's the one who offers something that will quench your thirst. We can go through life trying to quench our thirst in many different ways. We can seek fame. We can seek popularity. We can seek affirmation. And we can still find ourselves thirsting for more affirmation, for more power, for more wealth. We can find ourselves in the midst of struggles and even addictions trying to slake our thirst. And yet we will continue to be thirsty unless we come and receive from the Good Shepherd the living water that he gives. And that's what he gives to you and to me. And there's one other wonderful thing. There's many other wonderful things, but another wonderful thing about your Good Shepherd is he has you securely in his grip. I love what our gospel reading says today as Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is speaking. John chapter 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Isn't that wonderful to know that your Good Shepherd has you? I'm so grateful it's not based on me trying to somehow attain to God, but rather that God in his mercy would come to me and come to you and grab you and claim you as his own and sustain you. It is the Holy Spirit who gives you faith but also sustains you in his faith, because you're weak and I'm weak, but he is strong. I am weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Romans 8:38 says, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." It's a wonderful truth that my grandmother knew. Even as she got older and more arthritic, even as she dealt with the pains and the struggles of this life, she knew her good shepherd, and her good shepherd knew her. And I'm grateful for her and for others who have carried the faith and have told me about my good shepherd. And on this Mother's Day, I want to thank our mothers for sharing the good news, the message of the Good Shepherd with their children. May it continue. May God bless and guide you in that regard. And as we think about our Good Shepherd, I'd like to close with this vision that we heard from Revelation, but which shows us a vision of a time to come when the ginormous flock of the Good Shepherd from every tribe, nation, and tongue will be gathered into his praise, or gathered around the throne. This is Revelation chapter 7. "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.' The Shepherd Lamb lives and he reigns, and he is going to guide you. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen."